So now you finish doing meditation. Now you get into prayer and you can start to commit yourself to certain things. Lord, first of all, I want to thank you for showing me. Always start prayer with thanks. Thank you for showing me. Thank you for identifying my weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, for giving me an answer to where I need to change. I commit myself from today to change the words of my mouth. I'm not going to say, what did you say? I'm going to say, sorry, I can you say that again? I've had to do that in my mind. I've had to change the way I say things. I hear myself. Why did you answer like that? Short, sharp, bam. Why did you do that? Why are you getting so irritated so fast? Something's wrong. I'm allowing a behavior in my life that does not match with the nature of Jesus. What is the word on it? A gentle answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. Ah, okay, Lord, I've got it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I've taught you these things. So you start to put on all of those behaviors in meditation, and you are going to cause a response from heaven. Every time you do it, you will have an infiltration of divine power and mercy, grace to your life. And you will find God strengthening you and accelerating you like you've never had before. Amen. We've got two more things to speak on this area, and then we'll be done later. I was preaching in a church the other day, and I said, I'm coming towards an end. I said, and that means absolutely nothing. So there are two more disciplines that I encourage you to build into your life. Of course, all of us must read the Bible. All of us must study the Bible. I understand this. But I'm talking about aligning your life so that your life becomes outstanding. At the end of every day, you need to do what I call reflection. Reflection. That means go back over the day and in partnership with the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, show me what I did right, so I can take encouragement, and show me what I did wrong. So you get on the edge of your bed every night and you practice reviewing the day, reflecting over the day. You come to a place where you start to see immediately, why did I just let the door go in front of that woman? Because you are irritated with woman today, son. You know, the only people that have caused me major trouble in my life are women. That doesn't mean women are bad. It doesn't mean that they're bad women in this room. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that my challenge has been women. Women have given me the greatest, greatest trouble in my life. That's why I so adore my wife. She is the first woman in a relationship with me that has respected me, honored me, supported me, loved me, spoiled me, traveled with me. She even every now and again thinks I'm amazing. That's wonderful. I love her to bits because she is a woman who's healed my heart. But every now and again, I have, what do they call it in rehab terms? I have a relapse. I have a relapse, and women don't look as great as they should. And I have to be very careful. That's why I reflect. Because I find that I can just start being nasty. And I'm not quite sure why. It's just like I feel I'm not safe. Feel a little angry. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm not going to do anything for a woman. I'm not going to give them any blessing. I'm just going to ignore them as though they're not even there. as though that helps. One thing I've learned about women, they never go away. You can rub your eyes as much as you want, they're still there. Please don't take that badly. So as I reflect, I start to see inconsistencies in my behavior. I can see signs of cracks coming before they become too big. I start to take responsibility for how I live the day. That's the only way to keep strong. If you are not taking note of who you are and what you're doing, you've got problems. So reflection is the most beautiful thing. It's good to have a piece of paper next to you. Personally, my mind is strong enough to remember the things that I have to remember. I don't need paper, I catch it. And then after I'm finished, I know that I need to pay attention to these, and I ask the question, what is the word on this? Lord, what have I stopped doing? What have I started to put on that I shouldn't put on? And so I can readjust my behavior back to what it should be. I find when I'm tired, my words are not as gracious as they should be. Anybody who knows what I'm talking about, put your hand up. Praise God, there's a lot of us. Hallelujah. Yo, help me get my arm down, Lord. So, you know, that's why really, 9 o'clock, I rather tell guests to go home. Seriously. Because after that, you start speaking rubbish and I get irritated. Oh, I've got some sayings. After 3 days, fish and guests go off. I'm not cynical. I'm just practical. So I found that I need to then change the way I live. I need to get more sleep. That's all. Just get more sleep. Just control my day better. Don't keep watching that movie. That's why I love Sarah. Sarah will just, she'll get up, take the remote, switch off a show I'm enjoying. But it's 11 o'clock at night. And she'll say to me, Yanni, you've got an early meeting tomorrow. This is not clever. I am 64 years old. You don't have to tell me how to live, right? Thank God. Thank God. So you discipline yourself based on reflection. Meditation, you already know, I've taught you. So reflection, meditation. Last one is contemplation, looking into the future. Let me tell you something about contemplation. If you don't contemplate, if you don't dream of what's to come, if you don't give your mind a goal or a picture of success, your mind has to focus on something. Your mind cannot stay dull. It's not like a screen which you switch off and it's off. It doesn't work like that. If your mind has not got something positive to focus on, it will go back to the problems that you've been through your whole life. And you will live in your past. That's why Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. You have got to take your focus off of what's happened. Jesus dealt with your past. When you got baptized, you got delivered from every demonic infiltration in your life. Everything that ever had its claws in you, when you went under that water of baptism, you are supposed to be delivered. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you, claim it. Don't partner with stuff from the past. I've been set free. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can only be kept in the past if I believe that the past can still affect me. Got to write off some of your stuff. You got to just say, I'm not receiving this anymore. I was set free by Jesus. He paid the price. Why am I still carrying it? Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So contemplation is the skill of dreaming for tomorrow. My wife and I, 10 years ago, got down, sat down, and designed a vision for what we were going to accomplish in 10 years' time. That 10 years is 3 months away. And what we designed 10 years ago is 3 months away from completion. A total apostolic center, training center, a launch pad for the whole of Asia, a place where leaders can be trained from around the world. All the facilities, we've got two cottages to finish building and a meeting room to complete. 3 months, that's all it's going to take, and some money. And we're going to do it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We held that picture in front of our eyes. I'm telling you, we got a property that was for nothing. The most beautiful property you can imagine. We've built, my wife has built the most unbelievable buildings. She's landscaped the place. We've got water. Everything we dreamt we would have is here. And we only have just started. The problem with many of us is we have no dream. We have no vision. If I had to say to you, what are you in faith for? See, I'm in faith for a vehicle that's called a BMW 1250 off-road, on-road tourer with panniers on the back that is going to drive me through the most beautiful mountains in Thailand within a year or two's time. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'll be right next to you.
Amen. In fact, we want to bring people from around the world who ride bikes, who are Christians, to come and stay at our resort, and then we're going to go riding into the mountains. I'm going to get carried away. Let me stop right now. But I have visions in my mind of what I want. I don't want a lot. I'm not a person that wants, holiday homes, and that doesn't interest me. I want to enjoy life. And so there are things I dream about. I want to extend the kingdom. That's my main focus. My wife and I want to touch the world. People say we can't. I believe we can. Because Jesus told me I can. I can't get into that discussion. It's too long. But I've got in front of my eyes the great things that are coming. I don't see retirement. It's not in my picture. Amen. It wasn't in Paul's. He said, I've run the race, I've kept the faith, I've completed the course, I've fought the good fight. Now is laid up for me a crown, not a holiday home, not a golf course. There's nothing wrong with being on a golf course, nothing wrong with having a holiday home. But if that's what you're living for, God help us. You are the most vital that you've ever been. You know more than you've ever known. You should be dreaming about how you can touch somebody else. But what the enemy does is he gets you to focus on the mess you're in now. And all you ever see is the unkindness of people, the difficulty of the moment, the mess that you've caused, whatever. When are you going to start to believe God for exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or imagine? God wants to do some great things through you. Them that know their God will be strong and do exploits. We haven't even started, man. We need to do some amazing things. Start to believe in what God has planned for you. You've not finished the course. Start to dream. Write down the dream. Make it plain so those who read it can run with it. Habakkuk 2:3. Don't have this pipe dream that's never going to materialize. Write down some of the things that you believe God wants to do for you, that he gave to you through prophecy. This church should be meditating on the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's going to increase like a wave in this place. It's going to get higher and higher. I'm telling you, it's going to be like a flood in this place. Rivers of living water are going to stretch out all over this region. You should be seeing it. I'm already seeing it for you. I'm saying, hey, God, I want to come back here. I want to help push this thing along. Amen?
Amen.
It's a life changer. I taught you some of the most simple stuff in Christianity. But I ask the question, why hasn't this ever been taught to us before? Because nobody passed it on as a legacy. So we don't have leaders that pass on to other leaders. We don't have fathers that take sons like me and Father Dan and train us and teach us. That's why I'm always, when I first taught this, I was so embarrassed. I thought, you know, you are teaching the most baby stuff. It doesn't matter. If it's never been taught, you don't know it. And it's a key to the outflow of the grace of God to your life. Every morning that you do this, grace is going to flow into you. Amen. I've got so much more I want to say. I'll have to come back sometime. Thank you. You're very distracting. I lose my way because you. All right. Sorry, I didn't hear that. Thank you, sir. I love your humor. I want to teach you on character. I want to teach you on developing disciplines. I want to teach you on how to handle your time. I'm going to close with a few statements. The decisions you make determine your seasons. The decisions you make determine your seasons. God didn't send you a bad season. You made a wrong decision. God tells you quite clearly in His Word that He has blessed you. His plan is for you to walk in ongoing blessing. That does not mean you won't have trouble. But He'll turn every problem around. That's His promise. Who heals all my diseases. He's a God that solves all my problems. I'm old in the Lord already. I want to tell you, He's never let me down. Never let me down. I don't know if there's anybody in this room who can say, God let you down. God never let you down. You choose, and then your season will come. You choose from this course to get serious with God and to go for God. Do not play around at all. And I will guarantee you, your season will change. God sends us mentors that are often in disguise. We don't really see that they could mentor us because they don't look like we think mentors should look. And if we reject our mentor, God hands us over to life. Time is not a healer. Time is not a healer. I can show you people that are as bitter today as they were 60 years ago. Time is not a healer. Decisions we make are healers. You have to know that there are laws in the kingdom. There's a law called the law of two. If two or three agree as touching anything, it will be done. The Bible says, if two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. The law of two guarantees you a multiplication. It guarantees you outcomes that are beyond what one person can attain. That's why partnership and teamwork is critical. That's why, be given a partner, you need to walk together as one. Because the miracles that have happened to my wife and I have happened because we've lived the law of two. I do nothing out of myself. She does nothing out of herself. We turn to each other. We agree in the name of Jesus. And miracles take place. There's what's known as the law of beginnings. The way a thing starts is the way it continues. So if you start a company, if you start a church out of a split will follow you throughout the history of your endeavor until you repent. Time is supposed to be managed. You are supposed to manage your time. You have 8 hours for work, 8 hours for sleep, and 8 hours to form life. Most of us mess that up somewhere along the way. We sleep 4 hours, we work 12 hours, and the rest we do stupid things like play computer games or whatever. You have to take the 8 hours that you've got for work and make sure you are productive. You never take time off in 8 hours of work. My father taught me that. My father was at work 15 minutes before he was supposed to be every day. And when 5 o'clock arrived, my father walked away from the work and started his 8 hours of his personal life being formed. In the 8 hours that you have for your personal life to be formed, I'm talking about contacting friends. I'm talking about developing devotion time. I'm talking about making sure you're learning a skill. You're increasing your mental knowledge. You are becoming creative. You are not sitting absorbing what you think is your right to just flop around. If God has given you a life, what you do with that life will determine whether he's going to give you more. Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful with little will be made a ruler over much." Your next promotion is determined by how you've handled your last job. People have cars that are, I don't want to upset anybody here tonight, but if you look on the inside of the car, it's disgusting. They treat the car as though it's just a thing. They don't realize it's a test. Because how you treat what has been given to you will determine whether God will give you more. What you do with your life, your house, will determine what God's going to give you. You are under a test all the time. God is watching you. You are supposed to live at a greater level than your neighbors, than those who don't know him. The last thing I want to say to you, time's out. The last thing I want to say to you is you live in a natural world that was made out of the realm of the spirit. The spirit is more real than this natural world. I'm telling you, what God wants to do with you is teach you principles, keys to the kingdom. He wants to teach you things that will open the supernatural to your life. That you'll see supernatural provision. That you'll see supernatural health, supernatural healing, supernatural recovery of relationships. God is trying to do miracles for us all the time. But if we do not know how to put off and put on so that the spirit realm will respond to the behavior you've chosen, if you will change your behavior, God will change your experience. I want to tell you, my wife and I are extremely happy. We don't have a lot. We are constantly on the run. We don't enjoy what most people enjoy. But we found the keys to having God's peace and joy in our home. I've taught them to you. If you will live those, I'm telling you, heaven will respond to you. If you do nothing, you will be like everyone else in the world. You will never see the miraculous show up. If you won't change your mouth, your destination is sure to be unhappy, because your tongue determines your direction. What you say, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Where you are going has already been determined by what you're saying. If you want to change your direction, change your mouth. I pray for you, St. Luke's, and anybody who's visiting here tonight. I pray for you that the Holy Spirit would start revealing things to you at a greater level, that somehow this time that we've spent together, something has been touched, changed, opened up, revealed. We pray for you that you would find in Him all the riches and all the promises, that you will not allow yourself ever again to be relegated to the failure list, that you would be more than a conqueror, then you would be always victorious, that you would walk in joy, you would manifest love, that peace would surround you, that God would supply for you in the most unbelievable ways, that you would learn how to access the spirit realm and bring it into the natural realm, that you'll realize He has already given you everything you need for life and godliness. It's already been given to you. All you have to go is to the heaven, do is go to the heavenly ATM. Pull out the promise. Stick it in. Type in the faith pin. And take what's yours. Nobody is excluded. Every child of God has been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God's going to use you powerfully. God's going to still show Himself strong in this house. Thank God you've got such a go-for-it couple that are leading you. Thank God for it. So my wife and I bless you tonight. We release to you blessing. We send to your homes peace. That peace which passes all understanding. We release to you a sense of purpose and a sense of commitment and dedication to what lies ahead. That you wouldn't fiddle with the things of God. That you wouldn't be a person that has learned to play the Christian game. But that you would really be the salt and the light of this world. That wherever you go, things will change. We ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would bless the leadership of this church. I pray that a visitation from heaven would come to you. That God would touch you in an unusual way. That you would have a divine strategy for every step that has to be taken. We love you and we pray for you. Thank you so much. God bless you.